Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, people? You're listening to the 2 Pro 1 Slow podcast, brought to you by Factory Image Racing. Check them out on Instagram at Factory Image Racing. They offer a huge range of hard parts, service parts, tools, and more.
Right, sponsors. Welcome back. We're back, Tommy.
Thank you.
And as you can see, we've drafted in, because Billy's obviously always away, we've drafted in a new member, haven't we, Ben?
Billy's flaked on you.
Yeah.
Better member.
I'll just make sure you talk to the mic, Ben, because Tommy got a load of slack for that before.
All right, okay.
So, we've got another show sponsored by Factory Image Racing. There was a giveaway in the last one. Someone won a gazebo, but I don't know if he's claimed it yet. And I can't remember his name, but it'll be in the description. But we'll do another giveaway.
Does he know he's won it already?
I tagged him on Instagram, so yeah, should do.
Okay.
But I'll put it in the description and on screen. But we've got another giveaway at the end, so stay tuned for that. You can choose what to give away, Tommy, if you want.
No, let Ben do that, as
he's a guest.
I'm the guest. Against the guest, the star member, the...
What's on the list of giveaways?
On the list of giveaways is, again, we've got gazebo, but we've done that one. We've got custom anodized engine kit, anodized clutch covers, titanium bolt kits... And
a pit tie bolt kit.
Yeah, tie bolt kit's good. That's what I wanted to give away last time, but we had to build it up. Okay. But I recommend going hard now.
Hard. Right, so where should we start?
Well, obviously...
You're just having a Monster Energy?
Yeah, this is not a plug, I'm actually just thirsty.
What flavour are you going for?
Been on the graph this morning, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been flat out all morning.
You're a Monster athlete, Ben. What do you drink?
Yeah, Monster, obviously.
Yeah, what one? You've got to have a favourite, surely.
This one's good.
Nah, the OG.
Yeah, the Monster like it when you promote the OG, don't they? If I promote anything else, they're like, I sort of want you to make the green one, please.
No, OG is genuinely...
Strong with vodka.
Yeah, when I taste the OG one, it just reminds me of a Monster Party and I just feel like death.
We've touched on that before.
And I think of Monster Parties.
Oh, actually, talking about Monster Parties, well, Billy's not here, but remember when he was talking about the Monster Energy Motocross of Nations with Ferrandis?
Yeah.
Did you hear that one, Ben?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Ferrandis has replied to a couple of posts on Instagram confirming that it's true.
Yeah, it was. Someone commented to him. Oh, I don't know how it came about, but then anyway, somehow someone tagged him and then he put, yes, this is true, this happened, which was quite good.
I've got a few videos from that night in the group chat. I wasn't even there.
Just got sent a few in?
Yeah, a few went into the chat and I was away.
Right, well, I'm gonna pull up a few notes here, but these are from old podcasts, but we'll start with two of yours, Tommy, really, because you've crashed at Hawkston and then you've also done a race. So talk us through your crash.
My Hawkston Park crash.
Yeah, what happened?
That was pretty spectacular, yeah, actually.
Yeah, it was good. Well, what happened was I was feeling pretty good about the day and it was a club race, really, and I thought, what am I doing? You're going like a lunatic around this track and the pole position in a club meeting at Hawkston Park, and I just had to sort of have a bit of a reality check. Remember that I'm 31 years old.
You're too old for that now.
Yeah, I've got a child at home, and I'm trying to break lap records around Hawkston Park at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
I got a message from was Liam Knight following you? Was it,
yeah,
Liam Knight? Yeah, Liam Knight said he thought, wow, he's really gone into there quick, and then obviously went over the Brow Hill and you were just in a
I was
bundle.
Facing him backwards. Like, he said he looked at me and I was looking at him but going backwards through the air. But what's actually happened is I've come up, for those that have been at Hawkstone, it's like a jump before you go into the woods, the old wave section. So I've come across a single and the track was so flat in the morning. And I was just going faster than I thought I was. Normally it's a little bit roughed up, it's wet, so you sort of hit that jump quite fast into the woods, don't you? You know, the one I crashed on.
Yeah.
But I've landed way further than I normally would. And even in the air, I thought, ooh, I'm going fast here, too fast. And I'm a little bit... bike leaned over to the right because you land turning a little bit, don't you? And then it's caught my foot peg which has then pulled my foot off the peg, my right foot, and then I've got a handful of throttle. So I'm already going fast, and then I've gone faster and just fell off the side of the bike. And
game over at that situation.
Yeah.
What happened in the first race?
I just got beat in the first race.
Did you?
Yeah, you knew that. You've just tried to frame me straight under the bus this early on in the episode. I just got beat. Liam Knight beat me.
He's a good replacement for Billy, isn't he? He gives you some shit straight away.
Yeah, just straight off the bat. No need for that, really. Which is sort of, I've not slated you at all yet.
yet.
But, yeah, so first race. Well, my crash was just a crash. That's what happened. But it was sort of, I just thought, what are you doing? This is not, you just don't need to be doing that anymore. So, slowed me up a little bit.
You come away unscathed, though.
Yeah, no, it's good. I had actually big crash the other week before that at Apex. So two big crashes in like 2 weeks. So I've not crashed since. So hopefully they're out the way now for this year.
Cool. Right. Well, let's get the A. Well, no. In fact, we'll come back to the British Championship. Let's just ask Ben a couple of questions. So, what have you been up to, Ben? Practicing, starting. Obviously, the MXGP's not really gone ahead yet, as such.
Yeah, it's been quite a strange period. I mean, now you should be flat out, the season should be well on its way, but it's everything's been delayed again, and yeah, the season's going to be going until, I think the last race is scheduled for the 5th of December.
Cool, is it?
Getting ready for Christmas. Yeah,
Bali. I know, you can have some Christmas gear. You've got some Christmas kicks up there. You can run some of them around there.
So, no, it's been strange because the season ended a little bit later than normal, but still, we had a couple of had about 6 weeks off the bike, and then obviously moving to the 450, I started again, and I wanted to get on it quite early. So I've been riding and training now for what feels like forever. I mean, I'm
in Belgium, right?
Yeah, in Belgium. Well, all of February was in Sardinia, so in total it was actually about 5 weeks there. And yeah, we did one race, and now it's just, yeah, I feel like I've just been doing the same thing over again. Go to the track, do some training, do some physical training, and now I'm really ready for the good part, for the racing to start.
Yeah, it's about time. It seems like the MXGP's been a bit I guess everyone's stuck, but not slow with it, but last year it seemed it was hard to get going, didn't it, as well? There was a big 6 to 8 week break.
It was horrible. I mean, during the full lockdown I didn't ride one time, and I was back home. And yeah, normally if you're back home when you should be racing, it's because you've got an injury or something's gone on. And it was, you was at home, weather was perfect. Every day you're just finding stuff to do, and it was proper weird time. And then obviously racing got started, and when it was going, it was,
good for you, wasn't it, last year?
Gas. Yeah, no, yeah.
In it the didn't end, start it off that well, actually, did it?
No, the start was a bit steady, Latvia. But honestly, I think I was probably one of the only guys that didn't ride literally at all throughout the lockdown. And to start off,
that was your sort of excuse, yeah. That's a valid excuse.
You should know about excuses. You got enough of them, Tom.
Yeah, no, but it's valid, yeah.
But no, yeah, I was steady away at the start. I was steady away, and then towards the end, yeah.
You very picked up towards the end. What'd you get, 3 wins? 3 overall wins or 2 overall wins?
2.
2?
Yeah.
Yeah, but fuck me, 2's still good, obviously.
2 podiums, you can't sniff
at
that.
Both at Lommel?
No. Won the last one in Lommel, and then the last one in Arca.
The very last round?
Last round, mega.
No, I watched the last races. Obviously, I watch them all anyway, because I still just love it. But that was mega to see. Well, it's just mint, isn't it? GP win, you can't, especially for someone, well, not that it took you a long time, but last year in your MX2 career, you was obviously thinking like, I need to get this done. And I know you put a lot of pressure on yourself anyway, sometimes too much pressure. You even say that yourself, and to get it done must have been amazing.
No, it was exactly. I mean, during the last few seasons, obviously 2018, when I first signed with Yamaha, I had a podium straight, one of the early rounds in Russia. And people expected, from there you're just going to be on the box a lot more often and getting some wins. And then from there I waited a full year until I stepped back on the podium again. And then from there again, waited almost another year. And
to podium again? No, to win.
To podium again. It was third one. My third podium was in Latvia this year.
Oh, really? So it was actually like 1 year, another year?
Yeah. They were all spaced out.
And then you won pretty quickly after.
And then, it came to Lommel. And from there I had...
Was it 2 on the bounce?
It was from... Yeah, 3 on the bounce.
3 podiums on the bounce.
Yeah. I went 3-2 and then the last one I won. And then we went to Arco. First race, I had a pretty big crash with someone. And
then the second ones, I went second overall, and then I won the last one again. So
up from Lommelik, it started.
Yeah.
Everything came good for me.
You're obviously good in Lommel. You got Jago Gertz, which he's good at crashing in Lommel and fast, but you, when you watch on the TV, you was like, yeah, just to watch you, like, he's just, from the outside, you look the best.
Yeah,
the
like...
strongest.
Honestly, my first podium ever, I finished sixth and third. And it was, like, good, but, I mean, even in that season, I had more points sometimes overall and didn't get on the podium. Yeah. So it was nice because towards the end of the season, I won in Lommel, and then obviously it was amazing, but you know, you can say, hey, yeah, you're a sand rider and this, and you know, Jago crashed, who's meant to be, you know, the sand king, and he is on his day around Lommel, the fastest 250 rider. So
you like Lommel, don't
he
you?
He was
Tom?
He was expected to win, let's say, and yeah, it was good to get it there, but people know me as a bit of a sand rider.
Yeah.
So I was just as happy to get the second win in Arco on
yeah, no,
complete
I bet.
Opposite.
Well, I'll just ignore Ed because he's just being nasty again about me saying that I like Lommel. I'm actually not as bad as
tell
what
us about
make
your
up.
Tell us about your day in Lommel on the KTM.
That was a good day.
Now, what happened?
Well,
you went racing.
No, I did on the KTM. I raced. I've done my qualifying race. I've had some real good results in Lommel over the years. On my 250, I've won a race in Lommel.
Didn't you snap your rib in Lommel?
Yeah, this is. I'm getting to that. Just hold your horses.
Well, you're then, just trying
yeah,
to pick yourself up.
Well, I'm just trying to fucking give myself a little bit of thing before you tear me down. So I'm not just a complete loser in Lommel. Like, I'm just trying to say, okay, I actually am all right in it. But then when I got to the later years, I was something always went wrong before Lommel, so then I couldn't train or I couldn't practice. But on the KTM, I was already struggling.
That's also quite a valid excuse, isn't it, Ed?
Well, yeah.
What, something went wrong?
Yeah, he's always injured before.
Yeah, I was.
You do like an injury.
This one in KTM was such an injury-prone year, I actually looked. But up to Lommel, I had a broken rib. And then it was sort of healing. It was sort of healing. I was telling the team, like, my rib hurts. And they was like, nah, you'll be all right. Like, I was putting a bit of kinesio tape on it. And I got through Lockett, which was the week before, and I probably wasn't that good anyway. But then I come to Lommel and I was in qualifying. I was like, this is painful here. And then anyway, first lap of the qualifying race, I seat bounced one of the big holes and I just heard it go.
The rib is gone again.
Yeah, rib just, I just went. And now I said to the team, I rode around for a bit longer and I just went, I've got to pull in. I'm in so much pain. So then I went to the team and I said, I've broken my rib 100%. And they sort of thought I was moaning about it a couple of weeks before, but I wasn't. I was serious.
I was serious.
Yeah, they just thought it was an excuse. And then, because I first done it, actually, in Latvia, and I rode full the GP, but I was like, I've hurt my rib anyway, but finished the GP. I must have done, like, a hairline crack, and then
and
I just
finished it off in Lommel.
Yeah, just properly. And I got through the GP before in Lockett, because it's not really too hard work. And then, I went and got an X-ray, and I was like, go on, have some of that. Look, I told you, I'm not messing about. And they was just like, yeah, you've broke two ribs. And, like, full snapped.
I actually did that in Indonesia. 2019 when I broke my hand in Germany, and I obviously it was a clean crack, and I went straight in for surgery on that Monday, had it plated, and then within literally 4 or 5 days I was like, man, this feels mint. I was ready to go. I was feeling, I went on the trials bike a few times. I thought, yeah man, this is sound. So it was 10 days after, and I got on the plane to Indonesia. I said to the team, yeah, I feel mint, I'm ready to go. Didn't ride obviously a proper bike before the race, but then came to Saturday, was qualifying and went out. It was all right. First session was fine.
It just swelled up.
Felt mint, and then it got, yeah, was swelling up, and I was just going through the pain. And then the qualifying race came, and I remember the sighting lap, and I was thinking, I've travelled to Indonesia, and this is
you just feel like
I said, I can't.
So much pressure.
I can't even tell the team that this is bad. And I did the qualifying race, and I think I finished about 10th. I was satisfied with that. And then woke up Sunday morning, couldn't even move my hand, and I said, I'm going to have to say to the guys, stop.
Yeah, you got to tell the team, it's just painful.
Yeah. So then I went to the hospital there and had another x-ray, and the plate had literally pulled out of the bone, was sticking completely off. The bone was in half again, and yeah.
You just thought it felt like a knob.
That was it. Stopped through. Had surgery. Stopped again. Waited through.
Yeah,
4 or 5 weeks after that. So,
I got a good story like that. I'll tell.
Is this the KRT story? Yeah.
Oh, wanting to tell the team.
Have you heard this one, Ben? No,
I think you've got some people have heard it, but this is really good. So I've got the deal. I'm at Kawasaki with Boss. Everything's going wrong. So Kawasaki, I'm sort of pushing to get the KRT ride.
Yeah, because someone was injured, right?
Yeah, DeSalle was now injured. And Lieber, they both kamikaze themselves, one in Germany and then a week later, DeSalle in Russia. So then the team says, right, Kawasaki said, there's no options. Like, you've got to have Tommy now. So then Boss agreed, okay, you can go to a KRT. So a couple of weeks earlier, I hurt my ribs. And again, I'm like, rib hurts anyway. But you got the KRT ride, brilliant, fantastic, like, well happy with that. So then I've flown to Holland. I've flown to Holland real early in the morning. Oh no, sorry, late one night. I've got picked up, gone to the team's workshop in Holland. They're all chuffed. They've got a rider again. I'm chuffed because I'm on the factory Kawasaki team. Been trying to get on this team for like years, on and off, sort of.
Didn't you turn them down once?
Yeah, but but anyway, this time was story. Yeah. So I've got there. They're well chuffed. They've won a release that I'm riding for, and we've gone to a track that you ride, a hard pack track on a hill, like in France. We drove 5 hours there. They've got the lady who does all the PR and a camera bloke to come out to the track to meet us. So I've got there. Big first day. Drove 4 hours in and 5 hours in the morning. Say six, just make the story sound better. Got to the track. All I had to bring was my helmet and a set of goggles because the team prided me. New Alpine Star boots, new Alpine Star gear. They've like, we don't do a press day. So anyway, I pulled up at the track. I'm unloading my bag. I'm like, looking in my bag, pull my helmet out, put all my new gear on, brand new, D-tagging, tags flying off everywhere. I get there and I'm like, Pete's got no, my helmet's got no peak on it. So I'm like, fuck, this is not good. So I'm like, unzipping the pockets, I'm like, got to be a peak in here somewhere. So then I have to walk around the corner and I've got no peak on my helmet. First day on KRT, video guy there, camera guy there, social media girl there. And I've gone to Francois, who was working at KRT, I've not got a peak for my helmet. And it's like, what do you mean you've not got a peak? And I said, well, I remember packing it, I bet, but I've obviously left on the table at home. And they've gone, well, like, they just didn't know really how to take it. And I says, look, I'm already thought I was a bit of a knob in general. And they've just gone, oh, well, we sort of want us to do videos and that. And I've said, what?
Did you ride around with a bullet head?
Yes, I bullet headed it all day long.
No way.
Yeah, I swear on my life.
They didn't take it. Surely they didn't take any photos.
No pictures. So I've bullet headed all day around the track. I remember the name of the track later on, but done bullet head, testing suspension as well, full bullet head all day, no problems. Sort of still struggling my rib a bit, but I've just not mentioned it. Like, no problem, happy days, bike felt great. Drove back. The next day we're going to Veldhoven. So that's right near the team's workshop. So we drove there. The bloke's got me a peak. I've gone, like, drove to someone's house. I think Harry Van Hout house, who used to work for CLS. He's had an old helmet. I've sort of bodged a peak on a helmet now. It's got a monster claw on it, and I've just made a peak that don't even fit my helmet. We're all there. Again, everyone, testing guy, engine guy's there now. Laptops are out, blah, blah, blah. They're warming the bike up. Laptop's plugged in. Second day, I've got all my gear on. I've just gone to zip my boot up. So I'm at the back of the van, I've gone, and my boot strap has been a bit of a bugger. So I've like proper lent into it to like jam the strap in. Ribs broke. You can't write, honestly. So I'm down the back.
Broke. An old injury, though.
I already was struggling with the rib. I've just broke my rib, blew my boot up. I'm sat on the back. I couldn't even breathe. So I'm round the back of the tent, and there's like eight people from KRT there. I just hear the bike. They're warming it up, and I'm thinking, I can't catch my breath. And they, in the end, one walks around. He's like, are you going to ride sort of today? And I've gone, I can't ride. He's gone, what do you mean? No, first I like paced up to the toilets at Thingy, and I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do here? Like, I've got eight people from KRT down there. Like, all the other riders are injured. They said, right, we have Tommy. So now I'm there, and I've just says, I didn't know what to say. I just wanted to run off from the track, just run out. And anyway, they've come round, and I've says, I can't ride today. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you were at the track. Why can't you ride? I said, I've just broke my rib. They're like, what do you mean you've broke your rib? And I says, I had a sore rib anyway. I've not told you it was sore, but I thought it was all right. And now anyway, ribs broke. And the team are just they just didn't know what to do. He's like, all right, well, do you want to go to hospital and get x-rayed? And I'm like, oh, I says, oh, don't know what to do really, mate. I says, I can't do anything. And I flew home anyway. He's like, well, do you want to stay a couple of days and try? And I says, look, my rib is broken. Like, I'd love to tell you, like, let's have 2 days off and we'll smash it.
Sound like Mike Tyson. I've broke my back.
Yeah, I just thought, I'd love to say, like, I'll come and sit here for a couple of days, rub it, massage it, and fucking put some ice on it. And but it's not. It's broken. I need 4 weeks off, basically, 3 weeks off. So anyway, he's like, well, do you want to fly home? And I was like, yeah. So I just booked a flight home like 3 hours later, drove from the track to the workshop, straight packed my bag. Yeah, straight to the airport. And I was just home.
Literally next to the track.
And I just texted him after, like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I know I've got this ride and I'm so happy and I just feel so bad. And he's just, yeah, I was just, what? I just, you couldn't even write it. What's
going
on?
After that, I don't remember you missing any races.
No, well, I'm a machine, aren't I? I just carried on. I just went to the race. I just missed 3 weeks of riding and then I went to, but I still felt terrible, and then I raced Lockett, and I think I got fifth in the qualifying race, and felt like a legend. But I still was struggling with my rib. I just done a couple of races. I think I got fifth overall in Lockett and whatever another race, and then I hurt my shoulder again and Turkey, and then that was it. I didn't go to Stop. Where was the last round that year? 2019.
I wasn't racing Imola.
Yeah, Imola, and there's I've done well at Imola, and there's one more.
What do you both make of those sort of tracks, the Imolas that are like man-made?
Imola. Broke my wrist there.
Not good then, you don't like it then?
No. In warm-up, that was a silly move you done, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, Sunday morning warm-up.
You was fast as well, I think, that day.
That year was just absolutely terrible. I remember when I broke my hand, after Indonesia, I flew home to the UK. And I just didn't even watch the racing, didn't look at any bikes, nothing. I was over it. I was just sick of just always having something go wrong. And I remember that year I didn't do anything. I was just training, riding, did everything by the book, and everything was just going wrong. So I flew home after that Indonesia race, and I remember just didn't do any training for a couple of weeks, didn't look at a bike, just like a normal...
That was after Indonesia, Imola, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was after. And then I was kind of sound, feeling a little bit better. It was probably 4 or 5 weeks I didn't ride or race. So then I went back to Belgium, and then I said to the team, oh, I'm going to go riding. Just wanted to go on my own just for... none of the team there just said, yeah, me and my mechanic will just go for a bit of riding and see how I feel. And this was Tuesday before Lommel.
Oh, I remember this now.
And then... I said, actually, you know, I feel mint. Felt a bit recharged again, probably did a bit too much training before. And I was like, yeah, I've had some weeks off. And I looked at a bike and I was like, fully fresh, ready to go again. And I said, no, I feel mint. Hand feels fine. So then we went again on Thursday, did a little bit. And I said to the team, I'm going to race. And Yamaha said, I wouldn't rush it. I said, you've done 2 days back on the bike after 5 weeks off. And I said, no, I'm going to go and race. Just going to go, have a bit of fun.
What was this, your hand just, again?
Yeah, this was from my hand, from Indonesia. I said, oh, no, I'm going to go. I want to just get back into it. And then I remember getting on the podium. It was my second podium.
I remember it.
And honestly, did bumming, nothing before the race.
Roman Febbra down under the podium.
I think he won the overall.
Yeah, you both cuddling each other and kissing and at the bottom. It was
look, just nice. Because he's got some friends at the races, you're just a miserable sod that used to just go and sit back.
No,
in
I had friends. I was miserable the last few years at GPs. I just used to sit in the back of the
Hold on a minute. My mechanic this year was your mechanic.
Yeah, Ito.
He's got Ito. Some stories about you.
Yeah.
Is Ito your mechanic?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, Ito's
he's
a good
training mechanic.
We've got some good stories about him as well, actually. He got really pissed in Vegas, didn't you? Really pissed.
Terrible.
No, he's got some stories about you.
Yeah, because he was in my prime. He was my pinnacle years.
Yeah. He's seen the whirlwind that you caused behind you.
Ito, Ben's mechanic now, he lived with me in America he probably spent 6 months out there one winter. No, probably 4 months. I even bought him a truck. He had his own truck. Bought some CDs.
He said he was an absolute playboy.
Really?
What, in America?
Just in general. So in the pits, he used to have his headphones on. He used to stroll through, come up to his bike a couple of minutes before the start, sit down,
get the phone out, monster birds in front of him.
Yeah, but he was in my good years. I was.
Did you have a swagger then, Tom?
I don't know. I just thought I was a boy, didn't I?
Yeah,
then.
Shirt was tucked out. Used to just rock up.
No tucks.
Yeah.
He saw you in your prime in America as well, because you was proper outrageous out there when you were in the videos that we made on Tommy's channel, the American
Sorry
recap
about
ones.
Nah, he was. He came.
You were saying, "Oh, please cut that. Please cut this," because of how much embarrassing stuff. Yeah. So he would have seen it.
Yeah, I was embarrassing at that time. I was a little bit better when I come back to Europe, though, than the actual America's a little bit older. But Ito was my mechanic in 2010.
Ito came and just used to go into pro circuit, didn't he, every day?
Yeah, he lived the dream out there. He got a truck that I bought him. He worked at pro circuit, so obviously every mechanic's dreams to sort of work at pro circuit. Yeah. So he was like, oh, I said, you can just do the bikes at home. He's like, no, I'm doing your bike at pro circuit. So he'd drive every day to pro circuit, and he went in the main workshop at pro circuit. He had like a little bit out the back.
A little bit on the side.
But still, he would stay there all day, and they'd have beers at like 5 o'clock at pro circuit, and then he was having beers with him, and it was just like, yeah. I was like, good day, Ito. And he's like, yeah, for sure, so good. We have the beers with Mitch. And I'm like, yeah, man. And he's
living the dream.
And then on the weekends, he'd go fishing all day. Oh, did you catch anything? No. Good day? Yeah, brilliant. Any fish? No. I was like, all right, still good? Yeah, very good. Met a guy, and
you're into fishing on your bike.
Yeah, a little bit. Once I'm an expert, but...
What do you like other than motocross? Because Tommy's got zero hobbies.
Cars.
He's into cars.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the one. Good. You don't like cars, do you, Tommy?
Cars.
Not really. I don't mind them, but I drive them.
You useless geezer. Right, I'm going to pull up some of these questions so that it'll...
Yeah, we done some... from the fans?
Yeah, on the 2Pro1Slow page. There's a few good ones, actually, because obviously... You've always raced nations together, didn't you?
Yeah, that was good. One night, a funny story about that, wasn't it? When you after
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night. So at Red Bud, we had a good weekend pretty much. We didn't get on the... we actually did end up on the podium, but we didn't, did we? We got to give it later.
We would have been on the podium, but someone...
My bike broke.
Someone had an issue.
Me? Well, I think you had an issue. No, did you do good both races or not?
No, first race crashed on the start.
And yeah, then it's came a bit back, of an issue as well.
Came back to 11, I think. And then
yeah, you rode well.
Second one, I finished fourth.
Yeah, you done really good. And then
we actually all had a mega weekend, but
we all rode well.
Things.
Max had a couple of.
Yeah.
Max, something went wrong with, didn't it?
Yeah, he lost his goggles.
Yeah, because that's like Max's ideal conditions, really. Yeah, so he could have probably won the race, but we all sort of had issues. But overall, that was one of my favourite Motocross of Nations. Yeah.
Just the days before going to that golf course.
Yeah. The golf course, the house, Mark Chamberlain got us all a house.
Where was this? What race?
Red Bud. Yeah, you normally come.
I didn't come.
We went to a proper golf course, like membership only job. And anyway,
Harvard University golf course, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And sent Tommy playing golf.
And they said, we walked in and said, can we rent some clubs and have a game of golf? Yeah. No, it's not possible. So then, I gave him... Gave him some money and they got us all a set of clubs. And Tommy went, how much? $50 for a round of golf. I mean, I'm not paying that. Walks out, me and Max, a couple of the lads, got some golf clubs. He gets jumped straight onto the buggy with us, nicks a few clubs out of each club, and that's it. He's away. Just scammed the system.
That was good. The whole trip was amazing. I thought Chamberlain was trying to save a bit of money, trying to get us a room, like a Airbnb together in a house.
That was good.
We was all a bit like, oh, we're staying in a shit old house in the middle of the night, America, and then we just wanted sort of hotel rooms. Like, oh, that'd be better, just hotels. Yeah. And in the end, it brought the team so...
A bit more of a bond.
Yeah, so much bond.
And then Soph and Millie just did all the cooking and sorted the job right out.
It was just all round good, to be fair. Couldn't fault any of the weekend. So
recap for the people that probably don't remember. So you didn't get on the podium, or you got given a podium later, so you didn't actually stand on the podium.
No, we didn't stand on the podium. But then Italy, two guys on Team Italy got done for the illegal fuel.
Mm.
So they got disqualified, but we was actually fifth. And then I don't know why we ended up going from fifth to third. Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember really. Yeah. I remember just I had a good race in the first one, and then I think we all just, it was just good weekend, but it didn't
go
our way.
You were fourth as well, weren't you, at one point, and then your bike stopped.
Yeah, with one lap to go, it stopped. Yeah. I was loving it. And then I rode a bone stock on the next race, and the train was about to snap all race, just going, and then I think I finished 10th in the second one.
Right, there's a good, probably 10, 15 questions all the same here, and it's all sort of saying, who's faster, Nathan or Ben? So you and your brother.
Is Ben going to race next weekend as well?
This, you're talking to Ben.
Sorry, I've done that like three times today already. Is Nathan going to race the British Championship?
No.
Whoa. Exclusive.
Yeah, well, Ben just told me, which I'm a bit pissed off about, to be fair, because just someone stealing points away from me for no reason. Just
so you're MXGP, racing the British mate. Championship then?
Stay in MXGP.
Round two.
Yeah, stay
round
in your two. Lane.
I'm going to go to the British. Yeah, but there's no other races.
It's not your lane, mate. Honestly. I'm in the Britain now. You're in MXGP. There's a reason why I've not raced it. It's because I don't want to race people like you anymore.
No, but this is... I need some experience on a 450. I've done nothing. No racing on
Why
it.
Why don't
I
we have a side deal now?
Get back in.
If
British
if
Championship's perfect timing.
Yeah, no,
text Gareth, he said, yeah, place is there for
some
you.
Poor bugger's been kicked
we'll
out.
Kick someone else out.
Don't worry about that. Some kid that's spent his life trying to get in it, just kick him out, Ben, so you can have a little play on your bike.
So, no, I'm going to come have a bit of a pre-season race, and then I'm doing one more early, I think, 2 weeks after.
Another British?
So. No, that's in France.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, so were you having a side deal if you, for points or something? You're gonna, if you're winning, Ben, you're going to stop, let him through? Or?
I mean, I need to beat him first, but I don't know.
I think you'll beat me, to be fair.
You do that, mate. He's a
mind dad. You, I do quite like Ling.
No, I don't.
Really?
Well, I enjoy the track. Him. No, I enjoy the track. I do like the track, but I don't know why. Every time I go there, I have shit results, so...
No, I quite like the track.
Oh, I like the track. I think it's mint.
I just sit down and send it around there. I just flat out, skid up the insides and just clutch it and go. It's a bit of like a hacker track, isn't it? You can just hack round it at a fast pace.
It's the corners and that are always like flat and then just a little berm on the outside.
The bit when you jump into the backfield always looks like flat out.
Yeah, that's proper old school, just wide open, skittery bumps.
It's a good
but
track.
The only good thing I like is the downhills, real steep, bumpy, technical. So the fast bit, not that much of a fan, but generally
fast
I like
the 450 now. Wait till you just get roosted by that.
Yeah, I know.
Is it just you racing then, Ben, or is there anyone else?
No, I've heard there is a couple. Tonus is meant to be coming. I've heard some rumours of Hurling's coming.
Hopefully they don't.
Yeah, I've heard a few rumours. We can't confirm any of it.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Can't confirm or deny.
I've not really heard any rumours. It was a surprise that Ben just said he's doing it.
Hurlings is your mate, isn't he?
My mate. Mm. Ed's mate now.
No, Hurlings is actually more of your mate since you stopped racing.
Yeah, I actually get along with him well.
Because the years...
Not well.
That one year you used to hate each other.
Not like you and Febra well, but like sort of... I still... I'll chat with him now. I went to his house a couple of times.
What, his new one or...?
Yeah, I don't know. Just went in his hot tub.
He's balling in that.
I actually did. I'm not even joking.
Shut up.
I swear, didn't I, Ed? Was you there?
I can neither confirm or deny.
No, I actually was. I've been over and hung out with him. We're mates now.
You follow it.
Right. I swear on my life. That's
no, you
fucking...
have not.
Yes, I have.
You have
Ask
not.
Ask him. Message him. Say, has Tommy been over?
Let's go back to that question then. So who's quicker, Ben or Nathan?
Be settled this year, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Nathan's
only
riding.
Racing the tail. Training's completely different. You can feel mint in training. You can be...
How is it in training with the pair of you? You're just pushing each other, like riding together every day?
Honestly, we've done, I think, 2 days.
Why, though?
Together. Yeah, because he's got a full-time trainer. He's with his teammates. And, I do my thing with Glenn or Jeremy, to be honest. I always like to stay with the team and be a bit more of a group. And it's always nice, like you set the start gates up together and, you can't pace yourself from them, but they're two guys with a lot of experience in MXGP, so while I can, I want to learn.
I'd imagine you're as fast as them around the practice tracks.
Around the practice, who? Glenn and Jeremy?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing different stuff all the time. Like, Glenn's got way more experience than me and Jeremy, and they're both testing a lot more, whereas, honestly, I've just got on this 450 and I think the bike's unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Honestly, I absolutely love it. So I'm just getting the
You're
laps
not testing
in
nothing, no.
Honestly, not really. Bit of stuff with suspension, and that's it.
Honestly.
Have you? When you say you get on the bike and you love it, Ben, is it you're getting on a factory bike there, right? You're not getting on a stock. You've not rode a stock version of that bike.
Yeah, I have. Very first test was in Italy after Arco. Monday after I went to Italy and I was testing the beginning of it was a 2-day test, and the first one was you start on a full stock bike and we just worked our way up. Then we went, the second bike I tried was stock engine, but it had all factory components, so things like suspension and foot pegs, brakes, all that kind of stuff, you know, my handlebars. And then we worked up to Tony Suspect, which was from the three guys of the factory team. He had the, let's say, the most tame engine. And we started with this one as the factory spec bike. And then the day after, we did a lot of like full just suspension tests. So it was just, the whole aim of it was to get a package for when I started. So to do a lot of testing while you're on race pace straight from the end of the season. And then when you start, you know you've got a good base and something to work from, let's say.
So have you made a lot of changes then or not?
From that test, no. With the engine and stuff, I'm using pretty much exactly what Jeremy and Arno were using last year. So I know that it's a tried and tested, proven engine. So I have a lot of trust in that already. And then basically I've just done the chassis suspension stuff to try and suit my style and what I feel is good.
From the three riders, I would imagine Tonus is more similar to you than the rest of them.
Yeah, a little bit more smooth and through the gears. And I've just based myself off what they've had, and I know that it works pretty good. So I think for my first year, it's a good starting point.
Yeah, it's not bad. There was a question on here actually that, going back to bike setup, they said, "What bars do you use?"
People like that question, don't they?
Yeah,
bars. I just get it. Like, what bars you got?
996 Renthal.
Same.
Both running the same.
Best bars out there.
Yeah, I've always run it. But people just like that question.
996 is quite a low bend, isn't it?
Lever's quite low.
No, I'm
basic setup, all in line. Standard. If you look at myself, it's pretty standard.
Yeah.
But 996, that's quite flat though, isn't it? Not standard.
No.
What's the low?
999. That's the lowest one. 997's again like a little bit. I think even the bend changes it a little bit, but 996 is quite a standard normal feel, let's say.
996. So there's one here that's you sort of already answered. It says, are you going to sneak in an AMA round in before the GPs? But I'm guessing that's a no, but you're going to do another one, are you, said?
I've tried massively to do it. I'd absolutely love to go over there, and Glenn as well. We inside anyway.
Oh, what, he actually really wanted to do it?
Yeah, Glenn's pushing massively, but the issue is if they say yes to us, then they've got to say yes to the three Kamea guys that also want to do it on the 250s, and in the end, it's not really...
No.
Yeah.
It's not doable.
Really ideal for six Yamaha guys to come from Europe over to America just to do, you know, one or two races for some fun. So
a lot of money.
If it was one of us wanting to do it, it would have happened, but...
Oh yeah, because you could have probably jumped
on too many people.
Oh no, would you? They would have wanted to send everything. Being a factory team, they'd want us to do it right, wouldn't they?
Yeah, if I was on a 250, would have been a different story, because the guys are using star engines anyway here. So you take your suspension and that's it, crack on. But with a 450, the setup's completely different. It's like two
separate. Yeah, it'd have been tricky to do it if you're still on a 250 to go do that now, that'd have been mega.
Yeah, would have been mega. But honestly, I wasn't using the star bike in Europe, whereas Jagger was. We was on completely different bikes this year.
Why?
I don't know.
He was the favourite.
Can't answer that one. There's a question here for you, Ben, which is I'd quite like to know your opinion on this.
Yep.
Who's more of a tit, Tommy or Billy?
Well, it's Tommy the tit, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think
everyone should know that one.
Yeah, I'd probably say I'm more of a tit than Billy.
Oh, I like this one. JK Neil, past or present riders, pick your MXON team for Britain.
Past Jamie Dobb.
Present. Yeah, Dobby my number one, definitely.
Dobby World number champ. One pick.
Yeah, Dobby.
If he is 125, you got to pick Dobby still on 125.
But pick your top for current stat, like today's 250, 450, but imagine any rider rides any bike, so who would you pick?
What do you mean? What? The current
I'd put Thorpe and Tommy together just to see them two racing each other.
Head to head.
Yeah.
I think Dave would take you out.
Yeah, I think Dave might clean me out. He'd just come in steaming up the inside in the first turn, I think. Just show me he's still my boss.
It's hard to pick a team like that, though, isn't it? Because who'd you really pick?
I don't even know anything old.
Yeah, it's hard because I never even followed motocross.
No, I wasn't a big follower.
Malin, Rob Erin.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know. Malin's obviously won everyone on a 125, beat when everyone actually, one day.
When I first started watching GPs and stuff, was this your era? Mm. Was when you was...
So you're picking Tommy Searle then?
Titles.
Mine was Carl Nunn, who I used to watch.
Carl Nunn?
Yeah. He was like, I used to go ride Milnor and Carl Nunn would be riding around the track.
Yeah, but what year was that?
So I was like eight, so probably 97.
Yeah, that's the year I was born. So.
Yeah, so you were...
He's definitely so not like in the 2000. Year I was watching.
So what, was you born 97?
97, yeah.
No, Carl Nunn was before that. So then when I was doing GPs, you was 11.
Yeah.
2006.
Yeah, it's 06. Carl Nunn first GP was Donington, I think. And where was it? The finish jump was a big flow, yeah. A little bit to the right. I remember you.
Oh, so I'm like your hero later. Then. So this is called you. Sat next to me for you.
A few years ago, you would have been.
Till you realised I was a knob.
No, a tit.
This is another good question for you, Ben. You can no comment it. You can say, don't want to answer that one. But did you have any other offers on the team before staying with Factory Yam?
Yeah.
No comment.
No, I've got a comment. I mean, honestly, the whole situation was difficult because before Lommel, I didn't do anything special. And that was the crucial point of like when teams were looking for riders and I had honestly done nothing special. So I didn't expect to have a factory offer. And then the big thing for me was...
You probably didn't realistically, did you, up until Lommel?
Yeah, I had deals, but nothing special.
No, like not...
Not a factory.
It changes so quick in motocross though. Like you cannot have a deal and then all of a sudden you win a race and then two teams go, we want you on a team. It's so...
Results do every bit of talking. When
more so the managers.
Yeah, a lot more.
When I was racing like before Lommel, those few races, and I wasn't doing anything great. And the problem at the start of the season, I got promised factory support from Yamaha. And then it came to the Spanish GP and I was... Yeah. I was riding like a Wally, to be honest.
Mm.
And then I had a meeting at the end of that race and they were saying, we've had some budget cuts with COVID and this is not going to be possible and this and this. And I remember saying to a few guys, like, just give me a ride and I'll ride for nothing. I just need a good bike. The bike was all I cared about for my first year in MXGP. And then from there on, I didn't even think about what I was doing. And I was... a little bit mad at Yamaha, if I'm honest. And then came a few weeks later, it was actually, no, the week after was Lommel. And I was raring to go, and that was it. I went third overall, second overall, first overall. And by Sunday evening, I'd signed the factory contract.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it?
Just changed like that, yeah.
It's quick how it happens, isn't it?
It's so quick. I've talked to other riders. I remember when Glenn Coldenhoff was on Suzuki that year, and he didn't have a ride, and I remember seeing them at the track at like in Veldhoven and saying, and I was on factory KTM that year, and I was obviously struggling, and I was saying, no, I've not really got a ride, mate, like, I'm doing shit anyway, sort of thing. And he was like, oh, I'm struggling really, really bad, and I've got nothing, Suzuki is stopping, blah blah blah. And then all of a sudden he was doing all right that year, but not like amazing, and he won in Latvia his first GP, remember when he won it?
Yeah.
And then 2 days after he won, it was Glenn Coldenhoff, Science Factory, KTM. It's just like, bosh. They just, one result and the team's just, it don't matter. You can do shit all year and you have one result. Like, it doesn't so much matter how you start a year. If you just get a result at the right time, a team will go,
the bang, beginning done. Of the season, you can win four GPs in a row at the beginning of the season, but they won't sign you at that point. I mean, it's like, there's a, literally a little window where everyone goes, okay, now's the time we're going to start looking and get some people signed up. I mean, money comes into it a lot now. You've got some guys on factory teams and GPs now that are paying to be in that seat. And that makes it difficult for someone like me who I don't have someone or myself, 100% I'm not going to go to a team with money and say, please have me. Like I'd, yeah.
Yeah, you want to let the results talk.
Yeah.
But do so your four results at the start of the year not do that? If you, you say, oh, you get four at the start, but does that they still do not carry a bit?
People know about it, but there's a time where it'd mean more.
Yeah.
Yeah, fresh in your memory.
If you done, if you won the first two rounds, had a bit of, and then you was in a slump and you was in that same position and you went and got 10, 10, 10 at Lommel, or you got 10-10-10 at the first three rounds.
You soon get forgotten about.
And then you went 3-2-1 at Lommel.
Yeah, you're better off then.
Yeah, you're way better off doing that in a situation for a ride.
Yeah, but the thing for me this year especially was I hadn't won any GPs. I'd had two podiums before, you know, the middle of last season. So people didn't know if I could win GPs or if I really had that final little piece to get you to the top, let's say.
Mm.
So for me, the win, the final Lommel win was a big turning point.
Yeah, it's a statement, isn't it?
And for yourself mentally, I would imagine.
Yeah, massive. Mm. I mean, you work, you goal every time you go on track, like that's what you work for.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate goal, to stand on that top step.
It's good you've said goal, because there's another question here. What are your sort of goals and hopes for the 450 crew? What do you expect from yourself?
Well, I have goals, but I will never say anything or what I expect from myself. I always just keep that to myself. And
fair enough.
When the team tell me as well, like, what do you expect? And sometimes they see you riding and they go, I reckon you can be here or here. And I say, yeah, we'll see. It's just racing is so much different to training. And
it can go so different as well. Like, you get good starts every weekend.
Yeah,
you're going to be... In MX1, you get a good start. It's very, and you're on a good start, good bike and good rider. Yeah. Like, it's very easy to run up front. Yeah. You just sort of go with the flow because you're good. You see the lines, and before you know it, you're 25 minutes into a race and you're still right there. Yeah. But you get a 20th place start every week, you're going to be coming in crying, going, "This is so hard. Like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong." And then you get down and you beat yourself up, and then it goes from bad to worse, but then you start the season off with 10 hole shots, you'd have won a race race five.
And you've got people like Jeremy, for example, who he's finished second in the world four times, and he goes to the track on training and he does his own thing. He doesn't care about what anyone else is doing. You can be 2 seconds faster and his day's been good. He's felt good himself. And you know that when he goes to a race, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah, he's going to get that in a good position,
and he will be there. Yeah. So I don't do any comparing from the training, and like vice versa. If someone else is 3 seconds faster than me, I'm not really bothered. I'll do my thing and I'll work for my way. And then when you go to the race, then you see what it's all about.
Do you set goals, Tommy?
Not really.
I can tell. Yeah, you haven't learned how to use your camera yet. That's not a goal of yours, is it?
No, that is an actual goal of mine. And I think...
He told me he's been doing all his editing lately.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually feel like I've been doing better with my camera.
Have you been watching the vlogs, Ben?
Yeah, I thought his editing's improved a lot.
Yeah, he's pretty good at it, isn't he? He's knocking one out again tonight.
We vlogged this morning. We vlogged yesterday. Vlog will be live in a bit. I know you were taking a piss out of my goals anyway. I'm not even answering.
No, come on. Seriously, you must have some goals.
Now I've not got goals now.
Why?
Because I just sort of... I'm not that... I'm like...
No, but you're still in the championship. You must think, God, I'd like to win that, or I'd fucking...
Yeah, it's nice if I win it. Be nice. But I don't... I'm just not as bothered about...
Thanks, I'm not as bothered.
No, I'm just like...
If you're watching this, Dave, he's not bothered.
No, like, I really enjoy racing at the minute, and I love racing at Culham, and I just thought that was mega. Night before, I was a bit nervous for the first race, and I was thinking, this is racing, like, do I really want to be tearing it up tomorrow? And then I woke up in the morning, sun was out, and I just thought, this is mint. And then I was in the race, and I just generally loved it, racing around, and then at the end of the day, I thought, that was mega today, and I got second, and I just thought, I could probably win the next round before I heard Ben and Hurlins and all that lot were coming. Sort of pissed on my bonfire a little bit. But I just thought, that's mint. I really love racing. And I think if I'm enjoying it and I've got so much confidence from that, now I just think, if I just ride, how I ride, I'm going to do good. So I don't really need to set a goal, because, not being funny, in my position now, if I win the race or I get fifth in a race, don't change my life.
Yeah.
Where in your position now, not putting the pressure on you.
Not the British.
Makes no odds to you. But if you win or you get 10, changes your life, because you could sign a deal for hundreds of thousands, or you can go, I'll ride for free next year.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you're in a position where it's important. I'm in a position where I'm coming to the end of my career.
Especially first year in MXGP. Now, you know, you see some people go to MXGP and they're like, like Prado, for example, first year, having double wins, and then you see some guys who are mega in MX2 come up with Thames GP and they just don't click with the 450.
Like me.
It's not on the mic.
Yeah, that's what I'd done a little bit.
I will give you both a bit of credit.
You weren't.
No, I was actually, fast the first year. I got one heat race and that.
Yeah.
But then I got injured. But no, I know what you're saying. It's important.
It's a big year, yeah.
Mm. I've been and watched, obviously, a fair few of yours, Tom, and seen you race as well, Ben. And I must agree, watching what you boys do as a job is fucking hard work. Like, proper hard work.
Really hard.
Yeah, like, even...
Because everyone's good now.
The weekend at the race is the fun bit, isn't it? Like, the graft in between... And then, like, getting there and it not going your way, like, fair play to you. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it.
The thing now, everyone's, like, so serious. There's no pissing about in between.
No, and the team's
no
so
doing
serious.
Anything daft in the week or...
Yeah, but the
team's
got to
think about
be.
What you put on social media and everything's, like...
The teams have to be serious, though, surely, because they're getting paid fortunes from sponsors to deliver...
Yeah, yeah. Everything. And, of course, like, if you... Just everything about it now is just getting... bigger and bigger and bigger. You see some of the team workshops and...
Your team workshops are unbelievable.
Like, yeah, it's...
Just
unbelievable, it's the
no
workshop.
No words for the workshop. Yeah.
I've only seen it on videos incredible. And pictures, but it looks like...
It's like Formula One team.
Yeah, Formula One team.
Yeah, honestly, you could. The space in the room and... Just
you've
the
got
whole
like a
building.
David Lloyd's gym
from the
in your workshop.
Yeah, from the toilets to the bedrooms there, to the apartments, the offices, the kitchen area, the lounge area, the... workshop, the jet wash bays.
Yeah, you could have a day out there. You could just spend a full day there and chill out.
Yeah. Easy.
It's hard work for sure to run a team, I can imagine as well. Yeah. But that's another question here then that sort of leads quite nicely on from that. What is it like in Belgium, living in Belgium, and for you?
Awful. I'd done it.
I would agree it's awful.
No, I'm not going to say awful. I mean, there is not a lot to do there other than riding and training.
But
I mean,
that's all you do anyway.
The country as a whole is just boring, honestly. It's dead.
Is there any Belgium listeners out there?
There's nothing going on in the country. Even if you...
It's actually a nice, clean country, though, at the same time.
But if you look at the buildings and stuff and everything's just like... There's no greenery or there's like shutters on the windows. It's just like you're in a ghost town all the time.
Mm.
It is a strange, complete different environment to being here.
Even but the answer...
I'm from the
it.
UK, so... Home is.
But compared to riding here as well, Belgium's quite like ride at one, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, complete different style of riding. I mean, every day almost the tracks are open, just not Mondays some places. But yeah, Mondays and Fridays. But Mondays you can go
in
on,
Holland,
Fridays
though.
You can go Lommel. So every day of the week it's possible to ride. And then, yeah, normally 1 o'clock you can start and it's just free, open track. You don't have marshals, you don't have sessions, it's just... Pay 15 or 20 euros. That's it. 1 o'clock, the track's yours.
I think
you
can't. I think now you have to live in Belgium to do good in MXGP. 100%. I think.
Even from the traveling side of it.
Yeah.
Just to get to the races and stuff. And if you think living in the UK, like especially if you're driving, you've got that extra half a day before you.
Yeah, but you'd fly. I think when I was racing MX2 and things like that, you could get away with living in England. And
there was a big push from KTM when you was Everts and that wanted you to live there.
Because Everts was there. But I think that the way the tracks have changed now, how they prepare tracks, the level that's gone up, I think you can't do it in MX1. Or saying that.
No, you've got to be there.
Yeah, but Tim Geiser does it from... Tim Geiser don't live there.
Yeah, it's Tim Geiser.
That's what I mean. But if you're good... I think if you're very structured and you've got everything, he still goes there and I don't know how he... He does it. He's about the only one. Even Tony and Prado, they live there for
at least half the time,
half
50%,
a year,
I reckon. But the thing is, like the team and everything, they've got such a... That's the base from when they come back from the track. They pull in, put the bike straight into the jet wash bay. All the parts are there. What you need, everything's there. Like you can't come even if I want to come to the UK for a couple of days riding. It's a massive job for the team, especially now with like. You know, the travelling and you need a form with every single part and thing you're carrying
COVID
into the country.
Yeah,
it's so difficult. So for us, it's almost impossible to do the training at 100% if you're not in Belgium.
Have you come back now just for chill out for a week?
Yeah, a week. Just if I don't come back now, the season's going and that's it. I'm not going to be back at all until December. So this is the first time I've come home since Christmas.
What did you do? Drive back with Nath?
Yeah, drove back with Nathan, yeah. And then we'll go back, 5-6 days, so probably Friday.
Yeah.
You all right then, Thomas?
Yeah, I was getting a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, have another drink of your juice. Your, so your energy's gone down.
Why is Nathan not going to rice? I'm buzzing from that.
Yeah, you're peaking.
I'm at my prime now. I've done a lot. I only planned on sipping a couple of bits, but probably getting into it.
Nathan's doing a race in Crizoles in France. French race. Yeah, a little French race. So obviously his team is French. All French. And yeah, just for, like I said, the parts and for the bikes come from the workshop.
Where's his team based?
It's just a lot easier France.
Makes sense.
North France.
French team, French based.
Mm. Is he going to do the whole French championship?
No. Oh, I don't think so anyway. Yeah, maybe.
Is he ever going back to Enduro?
I mean, he really enjoyed it, so...
That's one of the questions. Did Extreme Nath really enjoy Extreme? We have to get him on when Billy's here, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he enjoyed it, so probably.
When's Billy back?
He's actually back tomorrow.
Yeah, so we're going to try and get Nath on as well, yeah.
Yeah, we might as well try and get you both
some,
in.
He'll have some stories from the Extreme Nath.
Yeah, that's got good stories.
No, I've got some good stories with Nath, but I'll save them.
Oh, the good story about... The MX of Nations when you come in naked into my bedroom, man.
No, I didn't come in naked.
What? I thought you was.
No, me and Davo. Me and Davidson have been to the monster. Well, actually,
there was party, was there?
No, we'd had a mint day, and I was like, "That's it." It was the last season. I'd just finished fourth in the world. I was buzzing. I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get on it tonight." And Davo is there. He travelled from the UK. I had a few friends. Tom Neal was there. Nathan Ryan, and we was like, yeah, let's go.
But there was no
came
monster
to the
party.
Evening. It was pissing it down with rain. It was windy. There was tents flying everywhere, and the monster party was meant to be like on the start line. I think in the monster.
Yeah,
race.
Normally it's always a party. Every destination is a good party.
And then anyway, the weather was like so shit, and Monster said, yeah, monster party is cancelled. So I was like, you're kidding me. Absolutely.
First destinations.
But anyway, they'd given all the drinks to Team Puerto Rico, I think it was.
So oh, Monster had all the alcohol and they...
Monster had all the alcohol and they just put it in one tent, and it was the Puerto Rico tent. So there was like Pastrana and I remember Roxen was in there. There was a few good lads there and there was probably 30 people maximum. And anyway, I remember it was with Rodriguez and that, and yeah, we got on it. It was in a little... one of the team's awnings, and we just got on it in there. It was actually quite funny. Anyway, we got a taxi back to where we were staying. And I was flying early the next morning, and I remember me and Rob walked in, steaming.
You like jumped through our bedroom door, and I jumped
through
the
door.
Is this in the house?
Yeah, like slammed, like pretty much ran through the door when it was closed. And there was such a loud bang, and I just...
Tommy just ripped up the quilt, jumped to the start bullet naked.
I was scared. I was scared, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Like, you really
did
scared
not know
me.
What was
did
going
you think
it was
burglars coming in?
I don't know what I thought. I was just in... I was in deep sleep because we just...
Just everything was hanging out. I remember the sofa was just wrapping up in the cool, thinking, what's going on here? Yeah. And then we did the same. We went into to Max and Millie's room, just slammed through the doors, but they heard what was going on because, yeah, we went into Tommy's room.
Yeah, you weren't quiet when you come into ours.
I remember Buck was sleeping downstairs in the little cell of it, and did the same to him, and he was just fucking going mad, what's going on? But now you lot was all boring as well. You didn't
well,
have
no,
one drink.
No, we was boring that day. I don't know why we're so boring. I just think it was just raining and got back.
Yeah, the weather didn't play part.
You're a bit jet lagged. Sorry, obviously when you fly to America, you're already jet lagged because you're tired in the evenings compared to like you went and wake up early and you get tired early. So it was a long, wet weekend, and I think we just got there and went out to dinner and we're just like, I had one drink at the bar and at this little... So there was nothing really going on where we were staying, was there, either?
No.
We was thinking, oh, we'll go out here or something, but nothing happened, and then night just fizzled out and ended up asleep.
Oh, well, boring bastard.
But old and boring.
You going to get on it if you win at Ling?
Yeah, probably just get on the piss midday if I win the first race.
What, mid-moto?
Not mid-moto, after the first moto. If I win that, I'll get right on the piss.
I've got a Camelback you can fill up if you want.
I see Billy race with a Camelback in a 30-minute moto. Is that his contract?
Do you know why? Well, probably that as well. But me and Billy went out on a day out enduro riding the other day in Werndoo in Wales. And
it's graph though, isn't it?
It is graph, but
enduroing.
Yeah, that extreme.
Billy's
horrible.
Yeah,
in the West Extreme now, I think they're trying to make it like a compulsory thing where you have to wear body armour, whereas you didn't before. Mm-hmm. And we went riding in Werndoo and me and Billy both didn't wear backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stopped and we went, fucking hell, do you feel weird? I said, yeah, it's because we haven't got backpacks on. He went, yeah, it is. So that's why he put it on, even though it's a shitty race. He said, it feels weird. Yeah, it feels weird not to have it on now.
That's like me with a chest protector. I could not step foot over the bike without a chest protector. It probably does nothing for me.
No, it does, obviously. The chest protector is good.
Is it? They're all
Yeah, but I'm watching videos of you without anything.
No, I do wear them sometimes. I sort of pick and choose. I wore one today, luckily, because my chain snapped and I hit my chest on the handlebar, so I was quite glad I put it on.
Why did your chain snap?
Just one of those things, Ed. Just happens. I didn't lube it up for probably for a couple of weeks, that, didn't
Yeah, I was going to say, you got all the muck off gear here to lube up bear chains and you just didn't bother.
Yeah, my bad, I suspect.
Oh, well.
How long have we been going? An hour and 1 minute, that's good.
Yeah, hour and one.
It can soon flies by, the old time.
Yeah, it
does. What else we got for Ben?
I'm just trying to have a look now what we've got. There's a lot of questions asking sort of if Ben's tried enduro or would you like to ride enduro? Or
doubt he would.
You don't mind a trials, right, do you?
If I listen to some of Nathan's stories, honestly, no, I'm not that interested.
I reckon he paints a downer on it. But
no, it's actually, I enjoy going out if I'm just having a laugh. You know, your mates just cross country, go through Wales or something. I haven't ever done a proper day at it, but
it is quite good.
I enjoy trials on the trials bikes.
Yeah, I don't enjoy trials, but the only thing is enduro. Or it's like you now, you're so focused on motocross, and I'm obviously at a small level, but I still ride a fair bit and train. Because I'm getting older, I need to recover a bit more. But you wouldn't want to go now. Say you ride at Lommel Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the team want you to go to France on Saturday. You just don't want to go ride enduro on the Friday. You'd be
You're over the bike.
Yeah, you're over
the bike. But like in winter, day out in like in the slopping rain.
Yeah, winter, day out, slop. I enjoyed that one day we done in Wales.
With, before Christmas.
No, I'd much rather it be sunshine and dust coming up.
Oh, no, I know. But 100%. That wasn't bad with all your friends. Like, you're a few of you in the woods. You don't actually get that wet. But just a day out. But it has to be on a time where you actually feel like riding your bike.
Yeah. And I reckon it's different competing to just having a mess about with your mates.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even imagine what it was like. Ed told me a story. He bumped into Nath on a road like 7 hours away from the base.
And day one, thought, Romania. What are you doing? Fuck.
He told me one story where he dropped off the fire road and his bike was stuck in a tree and he had no water left. He was in the middle of nowhere, no signal.
And he must have told you when he karate chopped the front mudguard.
He stood there and he just thought, yeah, what am I doing here? Why am I here?
Honestly.
And I think he was with Garcia or something and he's just, they had the phones there and they were just on Snapchat. So a few mates just stuck, didn't even know where they were. Just
the day I seen him was on a liaison stage on the first day of Romaniacs. And you sort of time yourself out of the race for the day and you've got an hour to complete a certain section. You're not allowed to go back until to start again.
Can't get there too early or too late.
So we're riding down this road and I'm freezing, shivering. I'm like just cruising along the road and I stop to put a jacket on and Nath just goes like past me like looking at me and I'm like, oh fucking hell, don't look happy. Then we both get to the like to the bit where they let you back in the race, but we're 5 minutes early, so we're sat having a chat and he's just going, oh, I've never been so cold. I hate this. This is the first year you did Romaniacs and also my first go. And I went, you having a good day? And he went, no, I'm fucking freezing. We've been going hours. This is shit. And then that...
that first day when he got lost on one of them, he sent me a picture of his feet. He took his feet out of the boots. And he had, honestly, like, it was trench foot. His foot did not even look real. It was, like, grey. And it just looked dead. His foot didn't even look
Yeah, and then he had to get back on the bike in like 4 hours time.
Yeah, yeah. They started like 5 a.m.
This was the same day. So after I'd seen him there, I then got back to Straja, the paddock, which was 211 kilometres from where we started. And I'd left at 6 and got there at 6 and thought, fuck me, I've had a terrible day. 12 hours of
12
this.
12 hours, yeah.
I went to sleep, ate, woke back up, and at 9 o'clock went to the riders' meeting, and Nathan pulls in into the paddock at 9. I'm like, fuck.
And he's done a double hard course.
And he's done, way harder course than I've done. And I think Johnny or Billy or someone was there. It's like, where have you been? Is this you pulling up now? And he's like, yeah, like, this is me turning up now. I'm just going, fuck. But yeah.
I think his day was like, he was lost for like 10 hours or something. What should have been probably a 7-8 hour. I think Billy does it in about 4 hours or something stupid, and Nathan was like 15.
Yeah, Nathan had a bad do that day.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and he's still so good on enduro bike, and it, but compared to those in that sort of race, just unreal,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Some of the stuff you watch, like Billy do, for example, it's you don't realize it's that hard. On a real bike. Yeah, no, you don't.
No, you wouldn't realize it's that. But in Romaniacs as well, I think it's a navigational thing. I had trouble with navigating.
But to be fair, Billy probably watches like you go around the track up here, and he's like,
"Yeah,
how do you just send it sideways on the jump like that?"
Yeah, I was
like, "You have your own."
Yeah, I was just
no, I don't think he thinks that. I think because Billy can send it sideways, he probably thinks, "Fuck, yeah, how does he bring it back?
How does he bring it back like that?
Like, how does he get it back from there?
How does that come back like that?" No, but it was exactly what you said. He's whatever, same age as you. So he comes up, and I just says, he just comes up straight out of the van, like he's drove down from Newcastle, pulls up, pulls his bike out, revs it up. It's still spluttering and smoking. He stamped it in gear. He's off up the field, and he just goes, boff, into like the biggest, steepest rock on the track.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, and to me, that's like, wow. Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, just wait a minute, mate. Just go around the fucking, in a couple of circles, yeah, and like clear the bike out and just give your body a warm up. But then in reality, that's like us, or you jumping on a track now that you ride a fair bit, and yeah, just sending it first lap. It's
like
so,
Lommel, for example, yeah. Lommel, like there's no jumps there, you just got a few singles, there's honestly nothing.
Yeah, but it's so rough, but you still, yeah, jump on it and pin
but
it
you
first
just know
lap.
Yeah, you know, like what it's going to be like, for example.
Yeah, yeah,
the bumps and everything get different from day to day, but in general, the same. The sand feels the same. And
yeah,
you know,
just know what you're doing.
You know what it's going to do.
And that's like him on an enduro.
Yeah, just right, slamming up a rock face.
Yeah, it's like he knows what the bike's going to do, yeah, when he hits that rock.
Yeah.
Do you know what to do when you hit a rock with your bike?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't.
You still not had a go. Rocks. You still not give me a good go at it.
No, I'm just not in the mood. I wasn't in the mood today. We rode today, and I just, Ed kept saying, "Get on my bike." Just,
Billy's back this week, and then there's a British round at Calm. Are you? Do you fancy coming?
You're trying to convince me to come watch, aren't you?
What?
I was going to vlog it.
I'll race
my
the
channel,
race.
Though. I'm not coming to vlogging it if it's going to Bill's channel.
No, I'll race the morning race, and then we'll just take the piss out of Bill. Well, probably won't be taking the piss because he'll win.
Take the piss, he'll win, won't he?
Well, we can stand at the side of the track. And
is Johnny racing it with him?
No, Johnny's not. He lives in Spain.
He raced it last year. Now he's got to pay for his own bikes. He won't want to come, will he?
I don't know. I don't know whether he'll be here.
He's probably got paid to travel himself.
He's hurt his knee anyway, he said, at Lagares, so we'll, yeah, see.
But I might come up. I want to ride that sand track again at the weekend, and then so I'm a bit like,
vlog will be going out in a minute for that.
Yeah, it's good.
Your secret sand track.
When was this going to come out? When's this going to go out?
This podcast. As soon as possible.
Maybe tomorrow then. Well, watch my new vlog if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, plug it.
I'm in a sand track.
See if you can see any improvements with Tommy's editing.
No, because they started off solid as editing, and they've just continued to be
solid. I've been trying to tell Ben to do vlogs.
No. Ben's busy.
Yeah, I know he's busy, but there's two brothers there.
Honestly, I watch your vlogs, and I think...
Graft.
How? Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got nothing else to do these days.
What do you mean, how? As in, how's he do it, or how...
Just like...
Well, I don't put it together, do I?
You've been telling me you've been editing.
No, in all realistic, Ed edits it, so I get that part, but I just think it'd be so good, you and Nathan living together, brothers, going around the world racing MXGP. It's so mint what you're doing.
Yeah,
and in time, you're going to look back and you'll be like, fuck me, if you had the vlogs out now and YouTube videos of yourself, you'd just go, that was fucking mega, wasn't it? And
the only thing I get is during the week stuff. Like on the weekends, everyone's always filming, taking photos. MX Vice, for example, they smash it. And I'm
but it's
not
different.
Really... I don't know, it's hard to
I get from your point of view that it's just ag, because you're in a chance where there's results are way more important to your life, and that's what you've got to focus on. But if you had someone like your brother come, or...
Yeah, but you need someone to
you
do
need
it.
A filmer,
it is
basically.
It is graph making, yeah, them, I think. And when you're... Yeah, you're training and riding quite a lot. When you stop, you're like,
that would have been nice to do.
Now. And then...
Yeah. No, I completely
agree. It'd be
agree.
Hard to do it
I didn't do it when I was racing.
And I have no clue on filming, cameras, editing, any of that lot.
No.
Like social media, I'm terrible, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but still, I think if you wanted to, well, if you are going
to. Can we come over one day, me and Ed in the van, and we just do a day in the life of Ben and Nath, and then we just vlog you guys?
And take your ad revenue?
Yeah. I'm not giving you any cut in my ad.
Get it, we'll go long, we'll do a couple of days riding.
I won't ride.
Oh, well, you're getting some a new motorhome, so we'll go.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm getting a new motorhome.
This week. A spare bedroom.
I know what we can do. We can go and sit with Jeffrey in his hot tub, seeing as you're his pal.
Yeah, and nosh him off in the hot tub. Now we're best mates.
Oh god, I'm just gonna try and
that's
find.
That's what I want to do, and I'd want to do that as well.
Well, we'll do it. Okay,
let me.
We'll see if we can
him off in the hot tub, but get a vlog of get a vlog of him.
Seems you just, like cars, he'll take out in his Lambo as well.
Why yeah, don't
he
we
likes Ed as well because Ed's got a couple of cars.
Why don't we take Billy round Lommel? That'd be a good day out.
He'd actually go good round Lommel. Billy would.
He's not scared.
No.
No, but that's what I mean. It'd be entertaining to watch.
It'd be entertaining, yeah. Like, he would send it, wouldn't he?
I remember.
The singles. Can you imagine how far he'd jump off some of them? Yeah. He loves a single.
Did you see him single that one in XL Ligares at the weekend?
The one he put on Instagram?
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. I've not actually watched that.
I remember going to the dirt bike show in 2014, probably. And I went to watch the trial show. It was Doug Lampkin.
He was there, Billy?
Yeah, Billy was there doing a show. Oh, my God.
I wish I was there to see that.
I didn't even know who he was, but I was scared watching him. He was mental. He had an all orange helmet on, and I remember talking to
Have you spoke to him about this?
No, I haven't. I remember talking to Dougie Lampkin and was speaking, and I was like, "Who's that?" And he said, "Oh, mate."
Well, even Dougie Lampkin said that.
Yeah, Dougie was like, "Fuck, he's good, but man, he's not scared.
He's wild."
Wild, yeah. And I remember he was just sending everything on the trials bike at this indoor arena, just this little sketchy show thing built up with a few vans and that, and he was just
that's so
it was amusing
Dougie
to watch.
Dougie Lampkin was shaking his head going, "This
yeah.
bloke."
Yeah. I remember that always. He had a bright orange helmet on.
You used to run a bright orange 661.
Didn't you used to run orange?
Oh no, Mel used to.
No, I didn't.
Mel used to wear bright orange 661.
When I was a kid, I was used to have a white RI. Full white RI.
Question here for you, Ben. Ryan Watson. Where's my 50 quid from Saturday night, Benjamin? Do you owe your brother some money?
No, I paid up.
Did you have a bet?
What was next question?
Oh, no comment.
Next question.
Let me try and find you one that's a half decent one. There's quite a lot of result based ones, but we
sort of covered that.
This is a good one,
trying
actually.
Trying not to be like... An
we get this question quite a lot, but normally can't really ask it because it's normally involving your missus or someone else, Tommy. But this is one you could probably answer. Shag, marry, avoid. Margot Robbie, Jennifer Anderson or Beyonce?
I couldn't tell you what
avoid
two
Beyonce.
Like.
You'd avoid Beyonce.
Who are the other two?
Jennifer Anderson and Margot Robbie. Do you know who that is?
Anderson's a bit old now.
Yeah, Anderson's a bit old. Shagger. And I'll probably marry Margaret Robbie's the one in that what's it called? The
Wolves of Wall
Wolves
Street.
Of Wall Street. Fit one.
Is that it? Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, done it. Completed it.
You on the same wavelength, Ben?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, I'd say that's my.
Although you'd probably shag Margaret Robbie and marry Jennifer Aniston.
Aniston's a bit more mature and
yeah, she's sort of got her head screwed on a bit more. Margaret Robbie's in Wolf of Wall Street.
You sound like you know him. You sound like you're full like yeah, yeah.
Well, she seems a bit crazy in Wolf of Wall Street.
It's acting, Tommy.
I just think she looks a bit crazy in general.
Oh, so you don't want to marry her?
Bit shagger.
I reckon you'd fit in with that movie. Bit of a playboy, bit of a superstar.
Edward, I wouldn't.
Oh, not me.
10 years ago, I reckon.
I'd
10 years ago,
to spend any money. No worries. Try and sneak in the club and get a free drink off one of them. Maybe that's about it.
Greg's or a meal deal?
A meal deal from where?
I hate Greg's.
Oh, that's like swearing at Billy. Meal deal, I think they mean McDonald's.
It's not a meal deal.
WH Smith's meal deal.
WH Smith's. I used to have a lot of them meal deals on the way to the airport.
You got a bit more choice with that.
Mm. I wouldn't care any. I quite like a Greg's sausage jam and bean cheese melt. You've lived in Holland too long.
They don't have anything like that. You can't even get a Starbucks or a
Club Kit Brudel.
Well, there's one here which is probably pretty Holland based.
Or Star Meal. Evert Star Meal.
Yeah, the team used to be sponsored by them.
Really? Are they actually good?
Yeah, decent.
I've got to find this question now.
That's actually made for athletes.
Is it?
So it's actually decent food.
Well, they're actually not bad to eat.
Yeah, everything's decent in there.
Yeah, because you've got Stefan Evert's face on the front, didn't you? Used to have.
Makes gin, so it contradicts it a little bit.
I've seen him at the track just getting pissed up eating them star meals.
This is the one that relates back to, I think, Holland. I don't really get it, but you seem like a bloke who loves mayonnaise.
No, absolutely not.
Who's asking for that?
Aaron-Azza22.
Why would he seem like a bloke that loves mayonnaise?
I don't know. Get another answer
on that one.
but that's like, whether it meant like, because they all eat chips and mayonnaise in Belgium.
Yeah, they do smash mayo there,
but.
You're not a mayo fan.
I wouldn't look at anyone and think they like mayo either.
I'm not really a massive mayo fan, I'll be honest.
I actually quite like a bit of mayo.
I bet you do.
I don't like eat it with a spoon, but I sometimes put it on something.
How do you combat arm pump?
Quite lucky, actually. I don't really get arm pump. Sometimes if I've not been on the bike, or the worst thing is if the team, for example, have hired a track in the morning before it opens at 1 to the public, they leave it bumpy. And then you go from not riding, no warm-up, nothing, and you just go to this mad rough track. Then it's like you don't start with a flow. You don't like build up to it. So then sometimes you get a bit tight. But honestly, I'm not really...
I'm not
that helpful in that situation, to be
honest. I'm quite good at arm pump.
Tommy recommends you go get surgery.
I've had arm pump surgery. Even Ed's had arm pump surgery for his hobby riding.
Yeah, I did.
He reckons that he just didn't enjoy it, riding around with arm pump.
Now, I went to America and rode with you on a CMH holiday thing and just got arm pump every day.
Yeah, but for someone like you, it's actually dangerous.
Yeah, it was fucking
you get arm pump,
I'm dangerous about it.
Yeah.
Every rider, it's the worst nightmare in motocross, arm pump. You can be so fit, even when I get it sometimes, and you just think, I train all the time, you do all this training, and you just think,
you get on the train,
I'd rather be so unfit, but not get arm pump, and get arm pump, because...
Completely destroys it. You can't destroys do anything.
So I see from Ed's point of view, because some people have said to me, like, why the fuck does he need to get arm pump surgery? He's useless, does he? And I'm like, oh, mate, bit harsh, like, he just enjoys riding, and he wants to enjoy it more. Yeah.
I generally don't think I could have done Romaniacs without it.
No, yeah, because I think you're different.
In a long race like that, surely...
It'd go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
It'd come, but go away.
It'd go away and come back, especially when you get stuck.
It would just go away and not come back.
No, I reckon in a long race like that, you'd be sounding...
Well, I'll tell you, it comes back.
Does it?
Yeah. You're on the bike for fucking hours.
Oh.
Yeah, but I just wouldn't think it... In my experience in arm pump, if you're going to get it, you get it the first session the worst... Second session, a little bit better. Third session on the bike, you won't get it at all.
If I've had it, it's like that. But I only really get it if it's like you're going out on a savage track straight away.
No, I agree with that.
No warm-up.
But then it's almost like your arms are... Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I do coaching days. thomasltraining.co.uk.
Mother plugger.
And a lot of the riders, they come on it. I'm riding, I've got arm pump 2 laps every time. A lot of it comes from body positioning. Some of it comes from a little bit of people do the wrong things. Like in motocross, if you're beginning, you think, I got arm pumps, I'll do more arm exercises, forearm exercises. It's the worst thing to do.
No.
So it's like...
And even if you're going in the gym as well, weights and stuff, like...
Do it differently.
Doing all the... To try and make a load of muscle, it just...
Yeah.
If anything, it will reduce the blood flow and stuff around your arms. It's just...
Yeah, so
better stay away from that.
I remember I watched Dungey always say that if he grips a weight or he's even rowing or doing pull downs, he puts his thumb over the top.
Yeah, over the top.
So stuff like that, and then really using your legs on the bike and your core, just take as much pressure away from your arms as possible, really.
And I have a bump in the seat. I sometimes feel like that can
take the piss out of mine all the time.
Does
yours look as bad as mine?
Yours is massive though.
Yeah, mine's like the standard seat, actually slightly higher, and then it just has one bump, and then it goes that high all the way to the back. So it's just like a
bench,
like a taller seat at the back. Let's say.
That's what mine is.
It's not like a bump where it comes back down after.
No, mine's the same as yours, but
that just like when you get in the groove, it just holds you a little bit easier. Yeah. It takes a lot of weight off your arms and stuff, especially on hard pack.
Yeah, I'm a Zach. Did you have that on a 250?
Yeah, and then even with the start, like. Obviously, when you release the clutch and you go, especially with mesh where it's like 100% grip,
So what you're saying, you lean back into it, like you sit into
it? No, it just helps you, it just holds you in.
Takes a bit of like weight off trying to keep yourself forward.
I'm 100% with you on that. Because people go, your seat looks awful to me. Like, what have you done to that seat? But it's,
I think they look mint.
I don't mind them. I think the one on mine's a bit strange looking, to be fair. The Honda seat's a bit strange now, so it doesn't look the best, but I just... It
helps, yeah.
If I have a standard seat, some people do ride with a standard seat that's real slippy and no bump, and riding around Eds and you're going out the corners with a bit of grip, you're just holding on for dear life. I just think, I can't even ride it. I need a grippy seat and I need that bump to hold me in, especially on a 450.
And I always find, like, with arm pump, the headstock, how tight you have it, can have quite a big impact. Like, if you put your bike on the stand and you lean it back and you just touch the bars, if they fall on their own, I always find that your steering is too loose. I always have it so that when you push the bars, when the wheel's off the ground, if it stops, doesn't keep going, then it's tight enough for me.
Yeah, that's different. See, I don't like it too tight.
Yeah, everyone's different, each their own, but I always have it so that I can be a little bit more relaxed with my hands.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And not be scared for the
I think more so in Holland, in the sand and stuff as well with that.
Yeah.
I'd have it like Ben. I'd like it just tight.
A little bit stiffer.
Yeah, and enduro, because I think that's how enduro riders have it, I guess.
Well, I'll just ride whatever Billy sets up on, or however that bike's set up behind, just ride that.
But yeah, I think arm pump's something that everyone struggles in, difficult. But like those little tips we just give can help a little bit. But even on the bit, I think I still get it sometimes. Like when I'm probably trying to lean and they're all pulling away from me and I'm just panicking, I'll get arm pump.
Especially there, because it's a little bit like skittery and you're holding on and sitting down.
In fact, I've got arm pump just thinking about it.
Well, maybe the sponsors of the show, Factory Image Racing, you might be able to buy some foam or some bits from their website to...
Yeah.
It's my arm pump cream.
Yeah. What's that, Factory Image Racing?
Factory Image Racing. Yeah, they've got a new store, factoryimageracing.com/store. And if you use the code 2PRO1SLOW, you get 30% off everything they
sell. Let's pick what we're giving away then.
Do you want to go home again? You want to go home?
Titanium bolts.
No, I just think...
You want tie bolts?
We're giving away tie bolts. I just think Nathan's birthday today. Ben's left him on his birthday and he's got a meal in a bit. So
yeah, we'll leave it. We're done. Hour and 20. We've listened to you drivel on enough.
It's 5:18. And what time is Nathan's meal?
7 o'clock.
Yeah, perfect. So we've got to wrap up.
Right, we'll wrap it up then. So tie engine bolt kits. I think we'll do the same as last time. All you got to do is comment on the YouTube video of this. So if you're watching it, comment below.
Oh, no, my video went out at 5 and I've not
changed
it.
Changed it to 6.
Oh, good.
The look in your eyes then.
Okay, now.
Yeah, so comment on the video of this video podcast. So if you're listening, pull over in a safe location if you're driving. Log on to EW Media YouTube channel and comment. It can be anything again. Don't write Ed Stinks like last time, like Billy
or
told you.
Or write anything. Some people put... You can write anything and then...
Nah, just put a good comment or a question for the next one. Something like that. Just something...
Productive feedback. Is that what you'd call it?
Productive feedback, yeah. We've got some new mics, new cameras, so hopefully there's a bit of feedback
I've
there.
Got the shit mic still, look. I'm holding it.
Yeah, out of the box for these today.
I bought you one of these this arm, but they didn't... It sort of didn't look great in shit.
In the middle one. I agree.
But we're getting a new desk, hopefully, so...
Yeah. And then some new chairs.
Yeah, we need chairs. It's a bit bodge, but...
Contract Furniture Group. Need to get them to hook you up.
Oh, little plug. I like
it. Are you
it?
Plugging? Yeah, you got anything to sell, Ben? Do you sell merch or anything?
New top you got on in there.
Yeah, he's got a new Kex
nice
hoodie
new
on.
Kex top.
He's a factory Kex rider. One of very few these days that's supported.
Yeah, one of five.
Who's the Kex supported riders?
Mostly British people. You, Billy, Ben Nathan... who else do we have? Matt Jones, mountain bike rider.
No, he's got his own brand.
Yeah, but
he wears the pants.
He's getting his own custom Kecks. Derek Chisora, a few others.
But yeah. There you have it then. So we'll wrap it up then so Ben can get home. But
thank you
for
having me.
No, it's been good. Oh, good luck with your season. Made a best man winner.
Yeah, bring it on. Can we book you in, Ben, for after Ling, so in case you beat him?
Yeah.
You'd be back to Holland.
What happens if I take you out or you take me out?
I'll be fucking fuming, mate. I'll be at the camper trying to smash the door in.
All right. Well, yeah, make sure you tune in to Ling. Maybe they can go. Can you go to Ling?
Yeah, I think you can. I don't know. Rules are changing. When is it? 17.
I think fans can come to Ling.
17. If not, you can watch it on the live stream. It's 40 quid, mine, but you can.
I honestly, I paid to watch.
You didn't.
I paid to watch it. Yeah, I did.
You didn't watch much then either.
Did
then.
Your second? Then, did you watch the second moto?
Or did no, it cut out. I didn't. Yeah, didn't even out. Manage to watch the second one.
To be fair, as bad as it was, Ed sent me the link after, and I quite enjoyed watching it. I think when they put it together, so I think when they iron out their problems, it'll be good.
Yeah, second round they'll improve.
Strange though, sure. The Italian one was free though, and it was mega.
Yeah. Well, oh well, it'll be what it'll be. Right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe or do whatever. See you in a bit.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.